Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Leah Hoppus here with me. And Leah is the founder of Vision Force Marketing, which is a full-service digital marketing agency located in Illinois. So really excited to have Leah here with me today. We're going to be talking a little bit about her journey of starting Vision Force Marketing, some challenges that she's had to overcome along the way, and how she continues to grow her agency. So thank you so much for joining me today, Leah.
Thank you, Julia. I am delighted to be here.
Awesome. So I'd love to know what really, you know, motivates you as an agency owner, motivates or inspires you.
Okay. So just in general, like what motivates me like day to day?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have to say just working with small business owners. Small business is the backbone of America. And, you know, throughout history, it is small business that pulls us out of recessions. It is small business that is responsible for doing all the hiring and lifting people up and growth. And I spent 15 years in corporate. So I have that perspective. I know what it's like to work in corporate and to work your way up through that and to be kind of a slave to that corporate mentality. And I also know the pain associated with small business ownership, right? And it depends on what you can stomach and what your tolerance is for. There's no either, you know, good or bad or right or wrong. But my heart really is for small business.
Yeah.
Small business owners, there is a courage, there is a strength, there is a fortitude that I see in other business owners. You don't get in corporate where somebody else gets to pay the bills. They can sleep at night regardless of what happens with a customer. They lose a customer. If you're just a salesperson in corporate, you lose a customer. You may lose a little sleep because it's your commission check, but it's not whether your business goes belly up or not. When you are a small business owner, you are all in. And when I get to work with these people day in and day out, I understand that pain. I can speak to that pain. And there's often when I'm doing like marketing coaching, I sometimes I'm a business coach. Sometimes I'm a personal coach. I had one marketing coach client ask me about dating advice. I mean, it's crazy, but it's so personal and everything about your business is so personal. And that's what I love. And so that's what motivates me is going, okay, this client, this is what they've been telling me for the last 6 months of what they need. And we finally get them to, you know, that result, or we finally get that success for them. And you get to celebrate that with them. And so that's really what drives me to continue on my bad days.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And I love your passion and energy behind supporting your clients. That's really awesome. And yeah, I agree. It's so rewarding when you're able to help make tangible results and just help these small business owners to grow their business.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, how you got into digital marketing and then how you segued into starting an agency.
Okay. So I'm one of those that kind of accidentally got into, I was a theater and television major. I had my sights on television production because even at an early age, I knew that I was very pragmatic. I wasn't that far, I don't know, is it right-brained, left-brained? I don't even know which one it is, but whichever, the very far side of creativity, right? That wasn't
the
me.
Right
even
brain.
I was creative and in theater and television and speech all through high school, I always had that very practical sense of deadlines, timing, responsibility, where some of my other friends were like, la la la, I will take 5 days to create this logo. No, we need it tomorrow. You know, those are always the things that I saw. And I saw in myself at an early age of going, okay, I can balance between the creative and that business. And how do I marry that into a career? Well, nobody talked about marketing where I grew up and even through into college. So I thought I was going into television production until I got into that in Chicago and realized it was a horrid, vapid industry. Nobody wants to help you because they're all in for themselves. They will not give you advice. It was awful. Plus you're living paycheck to paycheck and people pay you when they want to pay you. There's nothing in writing. They won't sign any agreements. It was awful. It was awful. So I found myself in this awful spot after college going, what am I going to do? What are my skills? So I started temping, and it was through temp agencies that I landed at a corporation that had a marketing position open. And the people who were working with me in that temp role were like, oh, you would be really good. Like it was other people seeing my skill set that I didn't even know I had. And they were recommending me. And then I got my first job and then I worked my way up into that company. In 15 years, I only worked for different organizations. Yeah. They were very large. They were both $4 billion multinational global organizations. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to just have that nice career progression and in marketing, accidentally fell into it. And then started going, oh, wait, I have a natural bent for this. I get this. Other people struggled with these concepts. This came naturally to me because of that creative background. And really just, it just took off from there. And then to answer your question of how I started my agency, in corporations, anytime there's a huge management shift, they go through, they clean house, they start over. And even though that wasn't quite my story, it was enough of a shift where things were happening and it was just like, all right, this is the end of the line for me. And we weren't married at the time. We were just dating, but my now husband was like, hey, why don't we start what's our 5-year plan? We need to be business owners. We need to be in charge of our own destiny.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, sure. I think maybe. and so that's what we did. We just, and actually just in full honesty, we had started that and then I lost my job. And then it was like, okay, I guess that 5-year plan is now. And let's go get some business cards and try this. Didn't know what I was doing. I had no entrepreneurial family members. I had no concept of what it was. And it was probably a good thing. Cause if I knew what I would have had to go through, I probably would have never done it. It was one of those things. And it's just customer by customer, we built it and it's been 10 years.
That's so cool. Really interesting. And so how did you bring on those first few clients?
Networking, local networking, going to every single blasted meeting that I could find, every networking, Chamber of Commerce, everything, any type of networking event I went to. I wasted more hours going to these, passing business cards. I'm not saying it was efficient. Okay. I will never tell you it was efficient, but I didn't know what else to do. So that's what I did. And that's how I got my name out there. We started doing free workshops and education, and that tied right in with my public speaking. I had no problem getting up in front of a group and offering a free class and getting people in and educating them on marketing and marketing plans and marketing strategy and how to think, all these strategies that corporations just use and take for granted, small business owners don't know. And they don't have the time to do it. And they don't understand the jargon. And so many marketing people. And so this is a challenge, I would say, for your audience. Are you a marketer that talks at the level of your client? Because if you don't, you can be leaving these people behind. And, sometimes people, especially if they go on for their MBA or they want to, if there's any insecurity, they try to sound smarter than they are. They try to use these big words and all these agency and MBA type words. Your clients don't know, they don't care, and it doesn't help them. At the end of the day, you need to be able to talk to them in their language, in everyday common language. Just like if you go to the doctor and they start telling you, you have all these whatever, and you're like, oh, it's a bruise. Why didn't you just tell me it was a bruise? Or an attorney talking in legalese, right? And you just say, break that down for me. That's what you should be doing as a marketing company.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. And yeah, not using marketing terms, which is super confusing to small business owners. Like even things like search engine optimization, like SEO, it's like something that I feel like it's just like the most obvious thing, but not everyone understands that. It's definitely becoming more common knowledge, but still not everyone understands it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's like, what's your value proposition? No, it's what do you bring to the marketplace? What makes you different? That's all it is. That's all it is. And
so true.
In my first book, that's what that's one of the comments that I got from most of my readers. Like I broke down what some of this language meant so that, you know, I gave them the term so they knew what it was. So when they hear it, but I'm like, all right, forget it. You don't need to have these fancy words. It just, they're designed for people to pretend they are better than they are and that they know something more than the other person. And that's great if you have to use them in your agency or with other marketing people. But that is one of the things I tell people is just get rid of it. Get over yourself. You're not that much smarter than anybody else, right? You know, I mean, just, I mean, really, it just comes down to if you're really going to serve your client, you need to meet them where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Okay. So how has your strategy for bringing in leads evolved over the years? So I know it started off with, you know, a lot of face-to-face networking, which I think is very common, you know, when you're first starting out, but how has that strategy evolved to current times for how, you know, you're continuing to grow your agency and bring in more leads?
Yes, that was it. COVID actually helped with that. It was a perfect timing because we were at that part of our business where I really needed to take control over my schedule because I had actually started it probably, I would say about 5 years into the business, I started realizing that I could not drive across town or drive 3 hours to a meeting if they weren't vetted, if I didn't even know if they had budget. So it took about 5 years though, before I really got up the nerve to start saying, hey, we're going to have a phone call first. I'm going to just give you pricing. And if we're in your budget, great. Now let's talk. Let's see if there's really something there. I'll send the proposal to you. And then if you want to meet me and sign the paperwork and give me the check, awesome, right? So it did evolve. You know, in the beginning, you want every deal and you're afraid if you say no to somebody, you're going to lose the deal. After a while, you start realizing, number one, not everybody is your ideal client and you don't want everybody. Number two, you realize you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. Mm-hmm. And you can't say the right thing to the wrong person. And what I mean by that is there are times when if you are a minute late, that will make that person so mad, they will never do business with you. And because there's something's not gelling right between you and that person anyway. And there can be one where you have a flat tire and you are 45 minutes late. And they will still love you, write you a 5-star review, and you will have the best working relationship with that person because there's just a synergy, right?
Yeah.
And once you figure that out, it takes off that pressure a little bit. And then it freed us up to, and I say us because my husband's in the business with me, really freed us up to say, okay, let's manage our time better. And let's not just meet with everybody face to face. Let's start. But people were really resistant to that. And especially for whatever reason in our town, we were a far west suburb of Chicago, people still wanted that face to face because it still had a little bit of that small town feel, even though, you know, it was still pretty metropolitan. And then during COVID, then of course, you know, either people didn't want to meet you or they couldn't meet or because of appearances didn't want to meet, right? Whatever the reason. And I was like, sweet, I'm set up for this. Yes, let me do a Zoom meeting. I can have 10 Zoom meetings in a day as opposed to two, you know? And and people were like, and when you still meet on video, they still feel like they get to meet you. Always spend more than enough time answering all those questions. I've never been afraid to spend time. If I feel like it's a good match, I'm going to work for that, you know, and I'm going to ask for the close, right? And so for us, it was the perfect way to transition to the model we had been really wanting the entire time. And everybody else just then embraced it. And now we rarely get somebody that wants us to come in person. Once in a while, we will, and we have. And, you know, if the project's going to be right for us, you know, but we are much more protective of our time now than 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's so smart. It's so important as an entrepreneur to really be evaluating where your time is going, because if you're not being conscious of that, it'll just get eaten up before you even know it on a million different tasks.
Yes. So, and yeah, I will say this, and I will share this with, if anybody is a new agency owner and they haven't figured this out yet, the people that want to meet for coffee, just to meet, see how you can help each other out, and then have an hour and a half to spend with you, they're not successful in their business. Anybody has that much time just to spend talking, they're not successful. Avoid them like the plague. And it may sound harsh, and I've heard people go, well, this person wouldn't meet with me. And I'm like, hey, listen, the people that don't have time are the ones that are successful, because they're running the business or they're protecting their time, because, right? And so that was also, you know, part of that is people who just want to sit there and talk and talk and talk and never either make the decision to move forward with you or not, or just on this guise of let's help each other out. It's they have nothing better to do.
Yeah, it's so true. I love that. Okay. So what would you say is, how do you maintain happy clients along the way so that, you know, hopefully they're going to continue to bring in referrals for you?
Communication over communication. It's an easy one for me because I am a talker. I was on speech team and all of that. That comes very easily to me and naturally for me. So as the head of the and president of the agency, I have always maintained that. So even as we've grown and we have other people doing work, I am the point person. I do not farm my clients off to the person doing the content writing or the SEO. Like, the teams will do the work. They report to me and Sean. We have all of that communication with our clients. Number one, it's quality control. Number two, it's because that forces me to know exactly what's going on with that client. Number three, that's what the clients want. And we've had people share with us that they have left other vendors because they kept getting passed on to the new rep, you know, and then you lose consistency. You lose the last prior 3 years of communication, right? Because the new person doesn't know that. And small businesses notoriously bad for notes, right? They don't have the big fancy CRMs that have a history of notes like, you know, your big companies might have. And so that's something that we've just decided that we're going to continue. And I had an example last year where we were working on a website, and all of a sudden I was getting this really, I just started sensing in these emails some frustration from this client. I didn't resort to email because, right, that's always the tendency, just respond back. I got on the phone. I'm like, hey, what? Okay, I sense you're frustrated. Like, tell me what's going on. Not attacking, not getting defensive, going, okay, something's not right. Tell me what's wrong. And through that conversation, she was like, oh my gosh, you did tell me that. Oh, I'm so sorry. She ended up apologizing to me after some very, I would say, almost snarky emails that were like, whoa, where are these coming from? I have learned you pick up the phone. It doesn't matter where you are.
That's great advice.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Just talk it out and let them talk first.
Yep. Yeah. And I love that, you know, you just like, they feel heard that way, right? You take the initiative, call them, then they know like they're top of mind. And I also think, you know, just like putting ego aside as well. And, you know, you guys didn't mess anything up in, you know, here, but like also, you know, if that is the case, just not being afraid to admit, you know, have that transparency, like, so sorry, like won't happen again type thing.
Yes. Yes. You have to own it because people know, right? They know if you're, you know, BSing and not taking that ownership. They absolutely know. And that's just going to frustrate them, because I've had that happen to me. I've had vendors refuse to admit, and I'm like, I have an email or I have physical proof. I know you did this. Just admit it and let's move forward. And they won't. And that's the quickest way to lose my business.
Yeah. It's so frustrating, for sure. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Vision Force Marketing?
For me, I keep wondering if I have a better answer for this, but I really don't. It's the accounting and the bookkeeping. I really didn't get good advice early on. And it has just been a thorn in my side from the beginning. We have gone through, I think, in 10 years, 5 different accountants, 6 maybe.
Interesting.
Ridiculous.
Why do you think that is?
And I don't know that I have the absolute answer. I think part of it is they are either too small and mm-hmm. they don't, I don't know. It's almost like they either have, and this is true. Like there are bookkeepers, there are tax accountants, and there are CFOs, right? And they all have their specialty, just like digital marketing, right? Someone knows SEO, they probably yeah. don't know PPC.
Different areas of specialty.
Right? You can't keep up with everything, right? And the problem is when you are an agency owner and you have to do your bookkeeping, you have to file taxes, and you have to have some type of vision from that CFO, right? So you're trying to manage all three. To find somebody who's affordable that can advise you on all three levels is very difficult, number one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I found one accountant or accounting company, I should say, that could do all three, I think they felt bad. We weren't making a whole lot of money. We were just starting to really do well. And so I think they felt bad. They didn't want to overbill, right? Good guy, you know, the owner was. And so I think he didn't want to overbill me, but yet I wasn't big enough for him to really give a lot of attention to, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so there were all these elements there. And then I had one that was just too small, and it took them 6 months once to answer my question. And that was back before everything was in the cloud. So for 6 months, I wasn't reconciling. I wasn't able to keep up with my bookkeeping. That was a nightmare. Then I had somebody that just clearly didn't understand anything about deductions or what you can actually deduct. I know there were years that I had an accountant who took no expenses for us. You know, your cost of goods sold, your advertising costs, these things that are automatic, like no brainers, right? And I got so frustrated. And so I literally am now using a very close, trusted friend who advises me. I do it, she helps me. And that has forced me to learn some things, but keep that control over it, bounce ideas off of her and make sure that I'm doing everything right. But I've had to do it myself. I hate it. I have to really, that's a whole nother rabbit hole, but it's awful. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But it is one of those things you cannot completely be hands-off on. And I learned that from Tony Robbins. Actually, I went to Business Mastery our first year in business. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things he said, do not ever completely be hands off with your bookkeeping and your accounting. And now I know why he says that.
I love that. Yeah, that's really great advice. Awesome. So where do you see Vision Force Marketing in 5 years time? What are your goals?
5 years, I think really right now we're on a nice growth strategy, you know, I normally look 2 years out. 5 years seems so long.
you can do 2 years if you prefer.
Yeah. No, I want to rise to the challenge here. I think 5 years, we should be able to, and see, I'm even not even using the right language. We will be, right? I'll use that strong language. We will be double what we are now. I think the primary challenge is, and then we've talked about this, is as we grow, maintaining that quality control and that accounting, you know, that accountability to our clients and that communication. And so that is the thing that we always have in the back of our heads as we are growing is, okay, yeah. What's that breaking point? Where's the point where I have to bring somebody else on or an assistant? And, you know, and as we've been able to grow with vendors and contractors and, you know, we're not to that point where I have to let go any of those major clients, which is good. I know that will be a difficult decision when I get to that point of going, okay, these 5 clients, I'm going to pass over to this person and, you know, and have to monitor that very well. But we do have somebody on our team who is starting to do some of those things. And so, you know, I can kind of bring her along and into that role when we're there.
Awesome. Well, that's very exciting to look forward to.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Well, we are now getting ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay, I am.
So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
This one is, and I'm going to forget the name of it. I believe it's called Verbal Judo. No.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I haven't heard of that one. No,
He's
I haven't heard of that one.
Police officer. And this was huge for me because I was one of those people that would get defensive if someone, you know, blame me for something I didn't do or what. And this book was really good about learning to control that thought, learning to control your language, to control the situation. And he gives all these examples of being trained as a police officer, how verbally you can de-escalate. And,
interesting.
And yes, and I absolutely, I did it on audio actually, and, or audio books, Audible. Audible. Verbal Judo. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it.
Sounds really interesting.
Fantastic.
Very good. Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine is first thing, you know, kind of getting up and I shouldn't do this, but I do look at my phone. And just to make sure there is, you know, again, because I am client focused, and if somebody has a hot issue, I want to be able to respond to them. So I do look at my email, even though I know all the experts probably say don't do that. I do. And I get my coffee. I do intermittent fasting. So since I've been doing that, I am a lot clearer. I'm more focused in the morning. I can get to work easier, faster, more efficient. And so I don't know if that really, and like, you know, so for exercise and things like that, I actually do those later in the day. So either at lunchtime before I start eating and breaking that fast, or late afternoon. I can't go too late, but that way allows me to also be productive with work before I'm taking time to work out or my time.
Okay. Interesting. Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, Tony Robbins is probably, you know, a very, you know, probably everybody says that. I would say I don't so much anymore. I used to, you know, kind of follow social media and all of that. And he certainly helped us because I've gone to several of his events and really helped me get in that mindset of an entrepreneur and business owner because I had no prior, you know, experience or knowledge with. But what I found is when I start following any of these men or women, right, most of them are saying the same thing. And I find it kind of predictable. So I actually prefer to find people in my own, you know, LinkedIn network and find what people are doing that aren't what pop culture says or influencers, but people that resonate with me who have a different thought or a different idea and aren't regurgitating. You know, because you'll find 25 different people quoting Tony Robbins, right? Well,
yeah,
I'm just going to follow Tony Robbins. I don't need to follow these other 25 people, right? And so that's what I really do. There's some people that in my LinkedIn feed, again, they're not anybody special, but I like their perspective on things and they post interesting things. That's what I tend to gravitate towards.
Okay, very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
This one, people laugh at this because it's been around for so long, but Canva, it's amazing.
Yes, I know, it's so convenient.
Yes, and there's so, and oh my gosh, I mean, they have expanded that just ridiculously. And for the price, you can't beat it. Like I can recommend that, even the paid version, I can recommend to any client I have. It's affordable at any price point. Anybody can use it. And I think that is not a stretch at all. You know, there are certain things.
It's so convenient. You can just create a template, send a link over to them. You don't have to pay for software. Like it's amazing.
Yeah. So I think that is the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I agree. I love Canva. Awesome. And then, so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Okay, so that is, I think earlier I said, you know, if I knew how hard it would have been, I wouldn't have done it. So part of me wants to say understanding the accounting and the bookkeeping, but then a part of me really wants to say, I wish I had had a good business advisor. I tried to reach out to a few people when I started and everybody was like, oh yeah, I'll sit on your board of directors. How much does it pay? Well, what? I don't have any money. You know, I needed good advice. And everybody that was in my circle was either from corporate and thought like corporate, like, oh, you have to have this master plan. And well, okay. But if you don't have time for a master plan, if you don't have the budget to hire somebody, then how do you get started in the right way? And so I think if there had been one person that could have just, I don't even know. This is
like, this just, is, like get a mentor or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stumping me with that one. And it shouldn't be that hard of a question, but yeah, I think it really was because, you know, I knew about people like Tony Robbins, right? You know, again, big mm-hmm. names, certainly great advice, but he's not saying, hey, Leah, here's what you could do in your situation, right? I didn't have that. So it was just so much trial and error. And I think the biggest thing I would say for people starting out is just understand you are going to have a million little failures and that's okay. Because when you succeed at one, then you're like, okay, that works. So let's do more of that. And then you're going to fail at a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's okay. Because then this thing is going to take off. And it's really about developing a thick skin. And you just have to develop that over time. If you don't have it, if you do, awesome. You're probably going to grow faster than I did. But if you don't, it's going to take time to develop that. And I did, I was somebody that took everything personally. It's been a really a maturing process for me actually.
It's such a great point because sometimes I feel you have to remove the emotion, you know, out of business, which can be there, you know, different personality types. I feel like that's more of something that you have to pay attention to, but it's good to be aware of, you know, when is it appropriate to, you know, have an emotion tied to this and when is it appropriate to, you know, it's business. This is what happened. What can I learn from it? How can I move on?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It's been a pleasure to have you on and I've really enjoyed learning about your journey of starting Vision Force Marketing. So thank you again for being today's guest.
Thank you, Julia. I appreciate your time and I love what you're doing. And so I wish you much success and thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.